You know, I know usually I tell, you know, start off with appreciation, but I do appreciate you guys. I mean, being here and the relationships that we formed, so I do appreciate that part. Also appreciate our organization, the fans, our players, assistant coaches, support staff, and, you know, for all they putting into this season. And I know we'll get through this journey. We're talking about this journey, and we asked our fans, we said there's going to be some good times and there's going to be some tough times. And when we laugh, you laugh, and we hurt, you hurt. And it's been like that this season. I think there's been, on that journey, I think it's been pretty factual that those things have taken place. With our team, I'll have a chance to meet with our players. We just had a team meeting, and I'd like to visit with our players on their exit interviews and also our coaches. And, you know, I've not had a chance to meet with either one of them yet. So until I get a chance to do that, I won't be able to provide any insight on what's taking place. But I think this offseason now we really need to dig deep. I think we go back and in the team meeting, we celebrate the victories, some of the things that took place. And there's some great accomplishments, you know, personal accomplishments, some unit accomplishments as we went through everything. But, you know, I think also the emphasis was on how much work needs to be done. And as a coaching staff, we got to dig deep. And, you know, our central theme is compete, and that's what we need to do this offseason. We've got a lot of areas that we can build on, some weaknesses that we've got to get straightened out. And that's what we'll devote all of our attention to. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
How many teams have called about Doug Marone?
You know what? I don't know that. That'd be better for Dave. Because, like I said, this morning has been just getting prepared for the team meeting. So all those things, if anything has come through, would go through him.
If he doesn't take a head coaching job, do you expect him back next year?
Yeah.
Was he here today?
Yes.
Improving the defense, does that include staff changes?
Well, that's what I said. Let me give a chance to talk to anybody. Well, I want to get the truth is what I want. And I think you say, Gus, you've had all season. Well, I think, you know, a lot of truths. I know, but I think one of the things that in my conversations with Dave and Shad and is to do due diligence, you know, and to get all the information and you know, really have a strong sense. And so until I do that, that's, you know, I'll respect that.
How do you view the season?
Well, obviously, you know, you can get caught up in one side or the other. You can look at it and say, oh, boy, we had our opportunities and we just didn't get it done. And I think that there's some truth to that. And then there's the other side of me that looks and says, boy, I saw great progress being made. You know, really in all units, I saw, you know, offensively, you know, many stats, many figures show that there was improvement. Special teams, there's things that jumped out, punt return average, things like that. Even on defense, the run, you know, where we moved up from, I think at one time we were in the 20s to we were in the top five. So, you know, I think all those areas show improvement. But, you know, the results, like I said earlier, it's a results-driven league, and we're not to the results that we had hoped for. So, you know, I think that's what we need to look at.
Do you still feel like there's a lot of holes on this roster as you go to evaluate what you need to get accomplished in the offseason?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's two things you do. You look at scheme. And you look at how can we best utilize guys' skill set. I think that you look at players and you say, all right, these are the guys that we feel strongly about. Maybe there were some inconsistencies. What can we do to get them to play more consistent? But their talent, you're pleased with. And then I think there's other areas where you feel like you need to bring stronger competition in. You know, so I think you evaluate in those ways.
A couple guys said yesterday that if you were more involved in defense, that would be unbelievable because it's your defense. You know it better than anybody. Going forward, do you expect to be the play caller next year?
No, I don't, you know, that's the things that I think as I gather information, you know, and where is it at? But, you know, I think the obligation is do what's best for this organization. And that's why I really want to gather all the information, see what's best and you know, go from there.
Do you already feel like you're going to be more involved regardless of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in this off season. You know, I think we'll take it day by day, but this off season especially. Well, it just, and when we look at the tape and we break things down and, you know, we analyze players' strengths and weaknesses and you know, the scheme is set up and you say, well, this is the system you have and this is the system you know, which is accurate. And, you know, you have a playbook for it. There's certain things that you look at. You say, hey, this is when we're playing this technique. This is when we're playing that. But within there, there's flexibility. And I think that's what you look at in the off season. And some of that flexibility is given to players once you trust them. Once you trust they know the system and they understand it, then there's more flexibility, you know, and you allow them to do some things. But you've got to feel like you have that trust in them.
How do you evaluate the offensive line? Like when you get a game that's such a disaster as it
right.
was yesterday, particularly against your chief rival, and specifically moving forward, what do you see in terms of Luke Jokel?
Okay, well, first of all, the offensive line. There's some things I look at, like we went from 70 sacks to 50. We were hoping that would be in the 40s. We didn't get it done. But great improvement there. I think Luke Jokel, during the season, he's given up 2 sacks, and then yesterday was 5. You know, so it's hard because you want to have a tendency to evaluate the last game, and that's what you build the picture from. But I think that overall the offensive line did a real good job. I think that there's areas we need to be stronger. I think that's what I challenge our team in this offseason. This time, sure, they're going to take some time off, but really physically we need to become even a stronger team up front. And, you know, but pleased with the progress, pleased with, you know, how they've grasped the scheme and the system that we use offensively. And, you know, I think the ceiling is very high for them.
How badly do you feel like you've got to build some depth there?
Well, I think that, you know, there's certain guys like Luke Boenkel, Shatley, Wells. I think going into the season, we felt like those guys, you know, provide the depth that we needed. And we feel like with another offseason, them getting stronger, you know, we'll see what takes place. But I think in-house, we feel good about their talent level. They just need more experience and to get stronger.
Yes, I just want to clarify on defense. You don't see any scenario in which next fall you'll be calling the plays defensively?
No, I can't say that.
So that's an option.
Yeah, that's a, you know, we'll look at it as we put it all together and see, you know.
Trusting the players to know the scheme, did you think some guys in their third year should have been further along? And did that limit what you could game plan?
Right, and I think that's, you know, knowing the players too and saying, okay, where are we at? What do we have? It's something like over the last 2 years, or last year, I think we had, 7 draft picks or 8 draft picks and 7 free agents, something 12 of the 15 guys started for us or played quite a bit, and, you know, whether it was on special teams. So there's some guys that you look at and are new to the system, and then there's those guys that you talked about that's their third year. And I think that knowing the difference, who can you offer flexibility to and, you know, trust them. I think there's, you know, I talk to the players in terms of this. I think when you come in, there's the level of knowing a system. And then you take them up to where it's coach speak, you know, where they know what you're talking about. And then I think the really, really good players take it above coach speak, you know. And I think that's the challenge for our team is not just to take it to what we're saying, but to take it another level within the premise of the defense, but take it above coach speak. And around the really good players, that's what they do. So I think as we trust these players, we got to allow that to happen. We got to allow them to take it past that.
Yes, there are people who also want you to change the scheme. I know that's not going to happen. Can you just explain why, at this point, changing the scheme would not be a benefit for you guys?
Well, I think, you know, when people say that or as coaches say that, you're looking for answers. You know, you're looking for answers. So, you know, there's going to be some things that you'll see within the scheme that are different. There's things that we added within the season that were different and on third down that we haven't done before. So I think that you have your core principles, and then you try to utilize the strengths of your players. If a player is not a good inside technique type player and he's a very good player for you, then you look to put him on the outside. You know, and you make adjustments. That might not be the scheme, but you have flexibility enough to adjust the players.
There can be detriments to changing too much in year 4.
Yeah, I think, you know, wholesale changes because the last 3 years now, you know, everything we've done, the draft, the free agency has been guided towards the skill set that we need.
Do you think you were too dependent on Derek being healthy this year coming in when you look at your whole team?
Well, I think I don't know if you become too dependent on anybody. I think that you also got to offer that opportunity to be flexible enough that injuries take place. And, you know, it's kind of like with Dante, right? And you know, oh, we're depending on this guy. Oh, no, now what? I don't think you can have that mindset. I think you say it's unfortunate, it happened, but we need to move on. And, you know, now the next guy comes up. So I think it's more of that mentality.
With that said, do you think depth-wise you've learned from this season that you can't be that way?
Yeah, I think that you constantly are trying to develop guys within it and that you hope guys develop to that level of play. you know, that's always a challenge.
Five wins this year. You start looking at next year. And, you know, obviously what Shad Khan said and what the expectations are, how close are you, I guess, is what I'm asking. How close do you think this team is over that hump and being a winning franchise?
Yeah, I think that it's never been said as far as expectations, like this number or that. And, you know, I do know, I think, in our conversations, but it's all, I mean, we all know it. We need to improve, and we've talked about that, right? I mean, you heard it from day one. Hey, we got to get better. We have to improve. And, you know, that part of it is still true. I mean, we have to improve, and maybe went to need to improve, you know, more of a stronger sense that, hey, we've got to really show improvement in all areas. The same thing that took place offensively, let's get that same type of momentum defensively and special teams wise as well. So are we close? I think we're, you know, what I like about our team is that we built it through the draft. We've added good free agents, but we've set ourselves up with salary cap wise in the draft to add another. I mean, if we had 12 of the 15 guys, you know, make significant contributions, and if you can do that again this year, you know, you can get better faster.
Is it hard to not go to Dave, though, when as you start planning for free agency because you want to build through the draft and you see that one guy
right
there? That...
Well, it is. I think it is a battle as a coach, you know, but I think that battle's taken place for a couple of years now, you know, where you're looking and going, let's do this, and then I think it always comes back to, no, let's stay true to what we talked about. You know, let's always make decisions what are best for this team and this organization and not let my ego get in the way, or, you know, and I surely don't want to do that this year either. You know, this ownership and this organization, I know it sounds like the holiday season when I say it, but it means a lot to me and it means a lot to everybody here. And I think the most important is to stay true to the plan. Now, within that plan, we've got to be flexible. If things aren't working, we've got to be able to adjust. But really stay true to that, making decisions what's best for this organization. Because we're trying to get this to the point where year in and year out, we're a highly competitive team, not the ups and downs. And we have a plan, and I think that we just need to stay true to it.
Hearn said he plans to have surgery next week. What does it say about his toughness that he's able to play through that all year? And just how positive do you come away this season from the receiving group?
Well, I mean, that's one example right there. I mean, great toughness. And we've got other guys that have done that. You know, we just talked about the number of streaks guys played and consecutive games, how many they started. So, and to do that, you have to fight through injuries. And, but his toughness, I think if you would talk to a lot of guys in the team, you know, top three, top four toughest guys, you know, Hearns would be in that category.
All the franchise records that Blake set this year, but he also winds up leading the league in interceptions. Is that kind of a microcosm of knowledge? Is it the team also of how far some people have come and how far they still have to go?
Sure. I think, you know, if you looked at the offseason, now we'll talk to Blake, both, you know, Ole and Nathaniel and Blake and I, and we'll go through some things. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is for him, that's why it's so important, the continuity. If he can understand now the same offensive scheme, the same concepts, and he can own that, I think the challenge for him is to take even another step in command of the offense, you know, to change the tempo, to do some different things. You know, that's what you see some of the more experienced quarterbacks in the league do, and I think that's really, you know, kind of the stride we want to make sure we take a step in that direction. And when you have a stronger ownership of the scheme, it allows you to play, you have more answers and at least a better decisions.
Hey, Gus, part of the flexibility you're talking about, does that mean being willing to look at some of these guys that maybe thought were key pieces, being willing to move on from those guys that, you know, at this point?
Oh, you mean with the draft picks you're talking about?
Yeah, draft picks.
Yeah, I think you always do that. I think, you know, that's the one thing that I do appreciate with Dave, and is that, boy, we really try to fight to not let our egos get involved. And because if your egos get involved, then you make decisions based on who's right rather than what's right. So, you know, I think anytime we see that, you know, sometimes there was an old cliche a couple of years ago that it takes wide receivers 3 years before you truly know what they are, you know, and what they can bring to the table. So you're competing with some of that. Now, we've had a couple of examples where guys have matured earlier. But, you know, I think you got to know the time and the place when to say, all right, it's time. You know, we need to move on. It's always a challenge. But I think what I appreciate is our conversations about him are as much as possible, you know, without any ego involved.
Set you back, though, in terms of it's year four, you know, if you've got these guys that were pieces, then you determine they're not. How much does that set you back?
Well, you can determine they're not sometimes through competition, too. You know, you have a guy that maybe you drafted and then someone else comes in and is better. You know, it doesn't mean that, you don't appreciate that guy or don't have a role for him. But, through competition, some guys can move up and down the depth chart. I think that's always a big piece of it.
Gus, you kind of in the last 3 years redefined victory for your team in terms of getting better and following the process. Will you have to look at victory in terms of wins and losses next year? Will that change a bit?
Well, I think, there's – like I said, you have to be real and understand that it is a results-driven league. So you look at that part and you say, but how do you want to get the results? You know, we talked in terms of victory as being the best that you can be. And now I think when you go back and look at it and you say, well, what happened yesterday? Why didn't we win? Well, we weren't our best. You know, and so it comes back to that. It's, you know, if we're not your best, then the results don't come. So that part of it is still the message, and we've got to find out how to be our best consistently. And, we're seeing it in different stages and units, but not collectively as a team consistently. So that part, I mean, that's the truth. If you're your best, you've got your best opportunity. So that part of the message won't change.
Why do you think you got so little out of Andre Branch and Chris Clemens this year? Guys didn't get through to them, or was it just they didn't?
No, I think there's probably, there's multiple things probably that you look at. I think that's what you analyze in the off season to say, how can we get more production out of that end spot? Sometimes it's the push in the middle. Sometimes it's, the get off time. Is it tight enough coverage to allow them to get there? Is it, is it effort? Is it pass rush moves? Is it utilizing their strengths? So there's a lot of variables that go into it. And, those are all things we have to figure out in the off season.
Clemens was a guy you gave Wednesday vet days off to. Do you think ultimately that maybe hurt him when you look at his production and sacks? And
no, I don't think so. I think that, sometimes when you get a player that is experienced or up there, it's smart to do that, to make sure you take care of him so that Sunday he's got his best opportunity.
Common word I've heard fans use, not just after the game yesterday, but for the whole season, is frustrated.
Sure.
Now, you're known for your relentless optimism and enthusiasm, but what about this team that had Gus Bradley frustrated?
Well, the inconsistency. I think you look at the last part of the season. And you look at it and you go, okay, we're in a great situation here. We've got to finish strong. And we didn't. And, we had a great opportunity in front of us and we didn't capture it.
How much of the disappointment of yesterday is magnified by the fact it was against a team that this organization is going to have to go through very well for the next 4 or 5 years, given their talent level, to get where you guys want to go?
Sure. Well, I think you're right. Yesterday was not – physically, we didn't play well yesterday. But, in the league, sometimes you can't base it just off of one game. There's multiple examples. The Carolina-Atlanta, 38-0 or whatever the game was. And then 2 weeks later, Atlanta wins. I think those things take place. I don't know if one game defines, oh, no, this doesn't look good for the future. We just didn't play very well, and we didn't protect very well. And with that, you have some – chances for turnovers and some not good plays or plays that aren't effective.
So are you suggesting that a 30-6 loss to an NFC opponent or somebody else that wasn't in your division would be, you'd feel the same way? You don't feel any different that it's Houston?
As someone else and not in our division?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that let's not miss it though. That was a good defensive front and a good secondary. So that's the measuring stick. All right. They just won the division. So now what do we need to do to ensure that, we play at a higher level than that? So that part, I don't want to say, oh, okay, that was just one game. No. What just took place here? Where do we need to improve on? And, let's really evaluate it.
Circle back on the defense a little bit. You said get above coach speak. Do you feel you guys are putting them in the right spots and now it's up to them? Or is there a disconnect in terms of what you're teaching them that it's just they're not, it's not getting through to them in terms of?
No. I see why you say that. No, I mean, coach speak is like, okay, here's your rules. Here's the essence of the defense. And then there's some plays in there where maybe a split by the wide receiver, a certain formation requires you to, maybe play a different technique within the system that gives you the best opportunity to make that play. And so to a player to watch enough film to understand that and then use that information and actually play it in the game, that part of it. And I think that's the part that a player needs to do through his film study. It's like if a player watches a play and says, you know what, I've got something on these guys. This formation gives me this look. There's a great opportunity there. Okay, do I have the flexibility to bail in that formation when I see it? Yes, as long as you don't bail in every formation. You know, it's more that. Okay, that's good. You're taking it above it. You have the general essence of the defense, but you're trying to take another step. That's good.
Gus, how do you evaluate seasons of Browns and House?
Okay, let's go through House first. I think House, it was a challenge for him in the beginning of the season. I think to play every play of the game was something that we really challenged him on. I thought that right away we were hard on him. I think that he was one of the few guys that had some PBUs, but we saw some good things in him, and we wanted to develop him to be a guy that, you know, he can move around with whoever receiver we wanted to. So there was a learning curve for him. And there were some challenging times there. I think we challenged him on his tackling. And I think that we might have mentioned it before about being a willing tackler. So he had that struggle about, a quarter of the way through the season. But since then, I'm really, really pleased with how he's progressed. I think he took it as a challenge. He's a guy that stays after every practice on Wednesday and Thursday and tries to get a few more tackles in, not to the ground, but just works his technique. And I think he took it as a challenge and really improved his game. So overall, I don't know, he has over 20 PBUs. Very pleased with his progress. With Gratz, I think Gratz is just like we talked about where he needs to take it above coach speed. I think that he's staying on top. He's doing the techniques. But now it's about making plays, and he needs to see those opportunities. So that's the challenge for him. Gratz has got very good speed. I think his big thing is confidence. And, and I think he probably senses us. He needs to feel confidence from us to him. He's that type of guy that when he feels that, he seems to play at another level. Mercedes pretty good now. You know, when you look at what he did in the blocking game, he might be one of our best pass blockers. Now, you look at his contributions, maybe say how many catches, how many touchdowns. That might not show up now. It might not show up. But when you watch it on tape, his ability to block at the line of scrimmage and his ability to protect and some of the big plays that, even the one yesterday that he had. I thought he caught well. I thought he made some really good catches for us. Mercedes is a guy that, on the offensive side, when you have guys that are having success, everybody wants to be a part of that success. And Mercedes is no different. When he sees Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas have some success, he wants to be a part of that. But he never let that get in the way. He never did. I thought he did a tremendous job leading. I thought he understood his role. It had to switch up from game to game and what we asked him to do. And I thought he was always what's best for the team, and he didn't let his ego get too involved.
Gus, how much, if any, staff changes that you may make, do you rely on input from Dave? I mean, is this all you, or do you also need his approval or whatever you might do?
I'll say this. It all comes back to me. It was never a situation where Chad said, hey, Gus, this will happen if you do. That has never been approached. I think that to help you is to better understand Dave and my relationship. Dave and I talk about everything. When I hired the staff initially, I would go in there and talk. Now, he might not know if he's a great DB coach, but he understands people, and he might understand some things I'm going through and say, Gus, I don't know that, but think of this. And it's really no different with him when we talk about personnel and players. So, yeah, we bounce, I think we're very open, very communicative, and we talk a lot about the situations that we're both going through. So will I talk to him about some of the stuff? Yeah.
Plus, when you have communication issues on the field, like the example with Paz a couple of weeks ago, in week 15 and 16? Whose fault is that?
Good question. I look at this. Is it the same communication issues that took place week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, or is it completely different? You know, so in that game, it was different. They did some things. There was some calls that challenged us with our communication. So it wasn't like, yeah, we did that week 3, and then all of a sudden now we're not, or it's always been like that. It was just, it was different, some of the things they did. So, but still unacceptable. So some of that, the players would say, yeah, you know what, I saw him break the huddle late, and I made the wrong close call, and then I tried to change it midstream, and it created some confusion, and, you know, but then we go back to practice. Well, we've got to simulate that in practice so that they're aware of it.
I know that sometimes they've said that Paws made a call, but not everyone heard the call. Where is that breakdown?
Well, that's discipline. That's right. You know, that's on coaching, you know, because, hey, how important is get in the huddle. You know, don't be 6 yards from the huddle. Or if it's a, you know, we need a muddle huddle, here's how we've got to pass it on from linebacker to DB to corner. You know, to reemphasize that. But it's not been an issue, you know, 90% of the time or 95% of the time. It was just here, so it's a reminder to them.
Yes, you guys are third in line for the Senior Bowl. Would you be willing to coach that thing again, or is it?
What a great opportunity. Well, you know, every year is different, though. But, you know, it does. There's a lot of benefit from it now. There really is. You find out about players. You learn about players. And, you know, I think it'll be a winning edge, right? If we're not coaching it, it means, you know, that'll be a sign. But, you know, if we have the opportunity to go coach it, then we'll go coach it.
Well, I mean, we joke about it, but does it work both ways? Whereas a couple of years ago, you found some guys. I mean, does it also let you limit the pool a little bit? You're around some guys that maybe you liked, and okay, maybe they don't do these things very well. Is it good? You know,
well, I don't know if you come out of the Senior Bowl and going no. I think you come out of the Senior Bowl. We need to do more research. You know, I think that's what it helps you find out.
The last couple of years. A topic around the league has been, okay, is this guy a corner or a safety? And
yeah.
I know you've had those conversations. What traits do you see that makes it one or the other?
Right. Okay. Another good one, because there's it's hard to find a free safety that we're actually looking for. You know, the guy that can run from red line to red line and he can do all these things and it's just hard. It's hard to find one in the fourth or fifth round that you feel like, you know, it's almost like there's that elite guy in the first round. But so many teams in colleges now are playing split safety, and they're not challenging their safeties to play that specific technique. So sometimes you look at corners, and you find out, hey, do they have a chance because of the speed? The downside sometimes in corners is, can they tackle? You know, are they a willing tackler? Because when you're a middle hole safety, you've got to make some open field tackles like we saw yesterday. So that's the challenge. You know, yes, you do look at corners and see if they have the trait to play safety. You know, but they've got to be able to, you know, at least be a willing tackler at the corner spot in order to even put them in the conversation as a free safety. Scuda did very well. I think here's my one regret with Scuda. I think that looking at him, there was a time in the season where we were going to look at him as a rusher more, and then he got hurt. I wish we had more opportunity, whether it was as an inside rusher or some aspect of the game. But playing the auto spot, did a really nice job. Special teams, nice job. I just wish we could have utilized him more, found a way to at least have a better evaluation of what he can do as a rusher.
What did Gus Bradley learn from Star Guy that could I do?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do you think
go ahead. Well, I've got my fingers crossed. You know, we look back at it, 5 weeks or whatever we held him out, and boy, he's been doing good now in practice. At that point in time, we had 5 practices with him for the whole time he's been here. So we've got more practices out of him now in the last couple of weeks than we did for a year. So that part is good. He sure feels more confident. And he's just, I think that part mentally matured him, Now he's got a plan, like his plan in the off season now. I'll have conversations with him. He has an idea what he wants to do. So hopefully it carries through.
How do you evaluate Telvin's season, and what does he need to do going into year three?
Well, Telvin at one time was one of the leading tacklers in the NFL, and he's very active. I think what Telvin has to understand is the importance of durability, and because of that is size. I think he needs to get, put more size on, get stronger, because it's hard. Where he's playing the inside position, and certain schemes are more taxing than others, but he's got to be able to be a guy that can play year in and year out or play all 16 games at that position. And he's got to understand just the importance of, durability and strength.
And then Jason Myers, how do you evaluate his season?
Well, there's a guy, it's kind of like our season. There's ups and downs and there's, good times and bad. But he had, 20 out of 21 field goals, something like that, wasn't it, Ted?
12 straight.
Yeah, 12 straight. So kind of what we anticipated. We said, hey, we're going to stay strong for him. We believe we really like his traits, his strengths, and there's going to be some challenging times. But if we can stay strong for him, we think there's something there. And so I think that showed towards the end.
Now that he's gotten this rookie year behind him, do you anticipate that he's a guy that could really take a huge step forward in year two?
Yeah, but there's always going to be competition now, especially at that spot. So that's what we'd hope.
How much tougher is a linebacker to evaluate coming out of college from when you first came into the league with the spread offenses and a lot of...
Right. It is because of instincts. You're really trying to find instincts and see the guy, that can get around the ball. And sometimes you see it in the pass game a little bit better. Like you see a lot of nickel Wills or nickel Mikes, but it's that run game. How effective are they versus the run? But it's just like a running back. Can you find a three-down linebacker? A guy that can play all three downs. And that's what we're trying to do with Telvin. There's some size things that we're working on, but, up until this year, or that game where he got hurt. But, that's where strength is so important.
How much will Greg Olsen's impact in his first year as an offensive coordinator impact your evaluation of the rest of the coaching staff and whether you make a move or not?
Well, I think you look at, when you look at it, you look at talent and are they improving and are they responding, all those things. So the same things that you evaluate Greg on and you evaluate everybody on.
How high of a priority will backup running back be?
Yeah, we haven't had those that discussion. Well, I think Jonas, I think he's got some size things, and I think that I'm intrigued with him to see what he can do. So we'll see on that. I think as we evaluate the tape, we'll have a better understanding. Excuse me.
What did Gus Bradley learn about himself and about being a head coach this year?
Well, boy. I could answer that even more as I, because not only do we evaluate the coaches, but you got to evaluate yourself. And that's what I challenge our coaches to bring things to my attention. And that's what, I meet with the players. What can we do better? So I think, it really challenges your conviction. I think this job, it can get to be where you, your ego does get involved and you can protect yourself and, maybe get away from the very essence of what you're trying to accomplish. And I'm not saying that's easy, that's hard, and you battle that all the time. But, I think there's that area I can even improve on. But providing strength to this team and providing strength for the staff and it can always improve.
Fans who have been critical of you this year have referenced quite frequently the "it's built" comment a lot from before the
sure.
season. Do you regret that at all? Did you get caught?
No, because you know what? I think that, you want your team, sometimes messages you send the team to know how much you believe in them. And it is, I do believe in them. I do believe in them. And, we got to keep going and keep challenging them. So, I don't regret that part of it.
You started off with this plan three years ago.
Started with the, what's that,
3 years ago, you started off with this plan.
Yeah.
I assume by the third year, you thought you'd be winning more than five games. And I wonder, have you given any thought what didn't happen that you didn't win more games by the third year?
Yeah, no, yeah, without a doubt, you look at it and say, okay, what took place in these games? And sometimes it's, we missed a field goal, you know? And then there's other times where you get blown out and you go, what took place there? So, you know, every game, but you're you can look and say, well, compared to where we were the first year to this year, we had multiple one possession games. Yeah, but I think we all thought that, you know, those one possession games, we would win. We would win those games. But, the league is challenging, and every year is different, and we have a ways to go yet. A lot of good things took place. Very pleased with a lot of areas, but, we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, well, this might have been this year. You think maybe it's been one more in the second or third year, and maybe be further along?
No, I just trust, you know, Dave and I conversation on how we're doing it and what we could do. And again, the whole picture is to sustain this, you know, and there's some things we have to do a couple of years down the line, too. So it's important to, you know, look ahead, too, like that. And that's more Dave.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Hey, thanks, everybody.